The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. If you've missed an episode or find any information we talk about today helpful to a friend or a family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Senior Solutions on Spotify. Boomers, if you're making a plan to relocate for your retirement, it's time for you to get real. Get real. What does that mean? Especially when we want to dream about living near the beach or on a mountaintop someplace or otherwise. Well, Martha Powers and Larry Gomberg, according to the Washington Post, they heard the news about Hurricane Florence bringing really bad winds and catastrophic flooding to Wilmington, North Carolina. You remember that. In fact, a friend of mine, he and his wife relocated from their home in this area down to Wilmington just over a year ago. Well, Martha and Larry were a little bit more fortunate than my friends because you know what happened last fall. Wilmington was hit by a wicked hurricane and there was tremendous flooding and my friend's house was, everything was ruined on the inside. It was really quite awful. Now, why do I tell this story? Because this couple, like many of us, think about living near the ocean. And you may even have a house in Wilmington, and I'm not saying don't buy there. What I'm saying is you have to be realistic about the choices that you're making, because with the dream of living near the ocean comes the reality of potential hurricane damage, especially, you know, up the eastern seaboard. It's not common. We haven't seen anything hit Wilmington in many years, but it does happen. And like many of the thousands and thousands of baby boomers that are getting older every day and are thinking about relocating, you need to consider reality, which is if you're looking for quality medical care, affordability, culture, and safety, including safety from hurricanes and deadly wildfires like occurred in California also last year, then you want to identify locations that will give you the amenities you need, but also give you some of the benefits that you want. So Lake Frederick, for instance, which is a location about an hour outside of Fairfax County, it's an area where the location is very good. It's just an hour away, so you could live there and still get back to see doctors back in the D.C. area. For our military families who go to the Naval Hospital or otherwise, that's a big benefit, not to be too far away, but to give yourself that freedom and luxury of open space and the sense of relaxation that I talked about on the last show. When you consider affordability, you want to determine the cost of flood insurance and other insurance you might need depending upon the location. There was a property for sale in West Virginia that one of my clients was trying to sell. It was right on the Potomac River. And actually, the floodplain crossed underneath the house. The house was on stilts. Truly, if there was an incredible storm, it's possible that that house could have flooded, but it wouldn't likely flood. More than likely, just do what it has done for 100, 200 years, which is cross underneath the house and then dissipate and go back, and the river goes back its way once the floodwaters recede. But still, if you're in an area where the house is close to a river, a lake, low-lying areas, or Hurricane Alley, wherever that might be, you have to consider the cost of that insurance. It can be very, very expensive to get insurance. In Galveston Island in Texas, it's a pretty spot. It's an hour and 15 minutes outside of Houston, Texas. It was hit by Hurricane Ike in 2008. Almost the entire island was just wiped, except for the old segments of the town, which were behind the seawall. There were areas there that had been built just a few years before. Those houses remained because they were built on very high stilts. And even though the storm surge in this case was about 15 feet above sea level, those houses remained, but many of the older houses simply disappeared along with the people who decided to stay behind. The dream of living near the ocean, the dream, it's, you know, 99% of the time, it's sunny and warm and pretty, but then 1% of the time you have wicked, wicked storms and you have to pay attention. So You think about mobility, especially when you're in the age between 82 and 85. That's typically when mobility starts to come in as a major consideration, and making your surroundings safe is going to be important. So consider locations. You might want to check out Lake Frederick if you've never been down there. And by the way, if you're looking to buy in Lake Frederick, please contact the Eric Stewart Group. We have a wonderful team of agents. We've expanded. We're all over Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland with multiple offices, and we can help you in your home sale or home purchase. Call us at 800-900-9104 or go to ericstewartgroup.com. What do you think is the most affordable town to own a home in every state in the country? Wouldn't that be useful for you to know where the most affordable town is located in every state, so you could consider maybe where you could live in certain parts of the country that you never thought you might live in? Let's think about Hawaii for just a moment. There's an area called Hawaiian Ocean View where the median home list price is only $165,000, and the median monthly homeownership costs are only $961. In Delaware, think about Georgetown. It's only $230,000 to buy a home in Georgetown, Delaware. California, an area called Avenal, not Avenel. Avenal is A-V-E-N-A-L. Avenal homes average $125,000. Of course, there's no water and no potty, but what the heck? I'm kidding. You've got... You know, you've got all of these towns. If you're interested in seeing all of these towns, we'll have this posted. Go to our blog and take a look at ericstewartgroup.com, and or we'll be glad to email you a copy for your benefit. That's ericstewartgroup.com, or you don't use the web, no problem. Just give us a call and we'll send you a copy. It's 800-900-9104. When I grow up to be a man. Older Americans are flocking to rentals. Last show, I chatted a bit about this, and I want to tell you a little bit about why are older adults making the move? Well, they're making the move because they're not interested in long-term commitments in the retirement years. Rarely have we seen houses actually appreciate and really appreciate the way that we saw in the 1970s. It seems like everybody who bought a home between 1965 and around 1970 or so made a mint of money over the following 25 to 30 years. We might see that as well. However, we've been in a market where we haven't seen that for some time. And especially as you get older, you start to decide, well, look, if I'm moving at the age of 60, do I really want to buy a home to live in? Or do I maybe want to rent someplace for a couple years if I've retired, see what I think about that area, and then buy? Or maybe I want to purchase a home someplace outside of where I normally would live, and maybe it'll be less valuable. Maybe a condo somewhere. I'll buy a small condo, spend my winters there for skiing, or a small condo, spend it near the beach, but then my full-time commitment is not being in those locations. But here again, be careful and know what the costs are in owning real estate, especially when you've got extra costs like insurance for being near the water. And I think that that's why you see a lot of the new condominium developments in Washington, D.C. have such high percentage of renters. It's not just the millennials who've moved there. It's a lot of the baby boomers who are looking for brand new condos, ease of location, and they don't want to have that long-term commitment. So think about it. Think about it. If you've got home title documents and you've had a spouse who's passed away, you might want to consider revising those home title documents. Not always, but you might want to consider it. There was a widower who wrote that she lives in the Chicago area, and she's planning to sell a single-family home in the near future. The property's mortgage-free. She has a clear title with her name and the deceased husband's name on all the documents. She wanted to know what steps she would need to take to remove her husband's name on the title documents and any other documents that might be applicable to the sale of the property. Well, the first thing I would say is you probably don't need to change anything if you own it as tenants by the entirety. Most homeowners who buy as couples and are buying together will purchase their homes as tenants by the entirety, which means that if your husband dies, you automatically receive all of the rights to the property. And although your husband or your wife are not there to sign documents, you provide a copy of the death certificate. That's all that's necessary, and the property can be sold. So if you own a property that way, you're probably okay. But there are other couples who own property as what's called tenants in common, meaning that especially if someone's been through a divorce and they're getting remarried, they may not join all of their assets the way that a couple might if it's the first time around. And as a result, you might agree to purchase, but you retain 50% ownership. The other party retains 50% ownership. And so if the property gets sold, you have vested interests of individual owners. In that case, if you've actually inherited the property by virtue of the will, but you have not got ownership by virtue of the ownership, tenants by the entirety, for instance, you may want to consider modifying the agreements, but speak with a good title attorney to get insight and ideas on how that will cost. Time for Stuart Rosenthal. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. Good, thanks.
Good. What do you have in the Beacon newspaper?
Well, there's an interesting story in our technology section right at the front of the paper this time. There's a service called Locast. We probably don't know about it too much around here because it's only been available in 7 major cities around the country except here. Mm-hmm. But this month it becomes applicable now in Baltimore and in the D.C. area. What it does is it allows you to watch local TV live free of charge on your phone, on your computer, or streamed to your TV.
Really?
Yes. Now, there was a service before that used to do this, but it was a for-profit, and they were put out of business by the broadcasters.
Okay.
But this is a nonprofit, and the federal law exempts nonprofits from being able to rebroadcast free signals. So it looks like they're going to be able to succeed at this, and you can just download it, and it's totally free, and it's very easy to use, and brings you all the local stations at your fingertips.
Wow, that's exciting. I'd like to do that tomorrow.
I think you can go online and do it. You just go to locast.com and you put in your email address and your zip code and where you are, and you sign up.
Read more about it in the Beacon newspaper at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
After 31 years in real estate, I still get questions about myths that homeowners believe are true, and you might be misled by these myths. So when I come back, I'm going to explain to you the myths and the truth so you know better. I'll be right back.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. House boat won't float, the bank won't tote enough to my stuff.
I still get the following question every so often from homeowners. Hey, I bought my house back in 1982, and I used to own another house, and I rolled my money from one house to the next house to the next house, and now I'm going to sell this. How can I verify that I'm going to get the capital gains exclusion on my property? Well, what happened is in 1986, during Ronald Reagan's term as president of the United States, there was a tax overhaul, and during that, a law change occurred that essentially said if you own a house and you live in that house as your principal residence for 2 out of 5 years, you're able to sell the property and get a capital gains exclusion based upon whether it's a single or it's a couple. And as a single, it's $250,000, and as a couple, it's $500,000 in capital gains exclusion. So with the couple who bought in 1982 and maybe paid $250,000 for a home that is now selling for $900,000, maybe they bought for $250,000, maybe they put $150,000 into the kitchen, into other major improvements that they've made, and they have a total of $400,000 in the home over the 37 years that they've owned the property. It now goes up for sale for $900,000. They're going to pay some commissions. They're going to pay transfer or grantor's tax, depending upon where they are, and they might have $1,000 in total costs of closing. But all in all, if they have $400,000 in and they're selling for $900,000, the net is going to be less than $500,000. They're not going to have to pay a capital gains tax on that. There are exceptions to this, specifically if you rented your property out during the term of your home ownership and you depreciated it over time. So if you have depreciated your property, you're going to want to double check with your tax accountant about this as well. But that law change changed everything. You could literally buy a home, move into it, live there for 2 years, sell it, take the capital gains and move on to another house and keep the capital gains and not pay tax as long as it fits within those limitations. Recently, though, with a change in law back in 2017, remember in 2017, there was a law change, December 15th, and that was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act overhaul, okay? If you bought your home before December 15th of 2017, you're in luck in the sense that your mortgage interest remains, it's grandfathered under the old tax laws. You can still deduct all of the interest on loans of up to $1 million, okay? And that's according to WealthAbility.com. For those who've purchased a home after December 15th, mortgage interest is still deductible. It's just that the deductible amount is now capped to $750,000. So the homeowners who are buying homes that are borrowing more than $750,000 now, they're not getting the tax deduction for the amount of their mortgage that is over the $750,000. They're essentially going to have to pay full tax on all the interest, similar to when you owe a credit card or otherwise for your personal use. Number two myth is property tax deductions are gone. Well, no, that's not the case. You still can write off your taxes up to $10,000 per year. There are places in the country like Texas where the property taxes are very, very high. New York, very, very high. Although in Texas, there's no income tax, so it offsets those property tax issues. But you used to be able to write off a $24,000 property tax bill in Dallas, Texas for a super nice house, and now you can only write off $10,000 of the $24,000. You can go to WealthAbility.com to get more information on that, too. Myth number three, if you work from home, you can deduct a home office. I want you to understand this. This is painful, but it's important you hear. Some people mistakenly think that if you just simply set up your office in your dining room, you can declare it a home office and depreciate it. And I think there are many people who do this and think that they're justified in doing it. I'm not here to tell you how to run your business or how to treat your home office, but I want you to be aware of the following, that you have to have a space. It can only be used regularly and exclusively for business, and it has to be the primary site of the business. So if you turn a spare room into a dedicated workspace, you can claim it. But if you're occasionally working in the living room, that's not deductible. That's according to Josh Zimmelman, who owns Westwood Tax and Consulting, which is a New York-based accounting firm in Manhattan and Long Island. Stricter tax codes means that in the past, office employees who might have worked from home could claim home office deductions that might include like business expenses that were not reimbursed by an employer. But now, apparently, only self-employed people can deduct their home office in any way. So if you own your business, you're fine. If you've paid by W-2, you can kiss that deduction. Bye-bye. Number four myth, all of your renovations can be deducted on your house. Well, not true. Your home improvements are not generally tax deductible unless the property is serving as a rental property as well. Think about this. If you have an apartment or you have a basement bedroom that you're renting out, you can write off parts of what you do to your property that serve those parts of your house that are being rented. You can also depreciate, from what I've learned, you can depreciate a section of the home in your property if you're using it and renting it out. You know, essentially you're receiving income on it, you can do some depreciation on that. You'll definitely want to talk with your accountant about this because expenses must exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income based upon my readings. I'm not an accountant, I'm not an attorney, just be careful and be aware too. And you can deduct expenses as selling costs if you're prepping your house to sell, okay? As long as the home improvements are made within 90 days of closing, okay? So if you're making them, be wary of that. I've never actually had the IRS come down on a homeowner based upon when they did it, as long as it was done in the run-up to the sale. And how you can actually do the home improvements within 90 days of closing when your house goes up for sale and it doesn't sell for a couple of months, I'm not sure. So talk to your accountant about that, too, if you have questions. Myth number five, all home equity interest is deductible. Well, it's not. It's not. Home equity lines, or we call HELOC, Home Equity Line of Credit, H-E-L-O-C, you can take money out to improve your house, or you could pay for general expenses like your college kids or a wedding. And in the past, interest on any of the home equity line of credits was tax deductible so long as it didn't exceed a total amount on your house of over, I think, $1.1 million. It's only now deductible if it's for a substantial home improvement. But you could borrow $100,000 to do your kitchen, your windows, you follow those kinds of things. And if you do it through a home equity line of credit, you can deduct it. Still, I would say you may want to consider, if you're borrowing that much money, you may want to consider refinancing your home unless your rate is so much better than what's currently available, because home equity line of credits tend to be more expensive. There's a lot of flexibility in them for the bank, so you'll see those rates rise if there's any kind of interest rate rise in the 10-year or the 2-year treasury bond. Okay, lastly, number 6, you can always deduct your moving expenses. Have you ever thought about that? Well, up until last year, taxpayers could only deduct a portion of the moving expenses when they were relocating to a new job that's at least 50 miles farther from their current home and their old job location. As per the new tax bill, though, no moving expenses of any kind are deductible. The only exceptions are for members of the armed forces on active duty. Make sure you check out MarketWatch, which provided me with all the good content that I just shared with you.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Hey, if you haven't been out in the job market for a while and you're thinking, I would like to find a job, it's been a long time. If you're in your 50s, your 60s, or even your 70s, you may find this process frustrating. You might feel like you're in a black hole. You might make applications to jobs and never, ever hear from anybody, whereas in the old days, maybe you at least got a call, thank you, we're not interested. These days, you just got to apply to a lot of different places, recognizing that you need to be careful in the application process. I'll give you an example. We're currently looking for good real estate agents to join our team as we expand. We invite these agents to apply. We give them the directions on how to apply. And we also do this for any employees who apply for the Eric Stewart Group. But I would say 60 to 70% of the applicants don't follow the directions. It's so important to simply follow all of the directions all the way through and give all the information that's being requested, because then you can at least have a shot. But if you don't, then you're clearly not motivated to be careful, and who's going to want to hire you if you're not being careful? So take the time, fill out the application, and think about how your job search was of old, where you used to go door knocking. You might really want to do something, in which case you could pick up the phone and call somebody, or you could stop by the office at the front desk and initiate. Remember, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? 8 tips real quick. Don't be embarrassed to try. Get contacts at your prospective employers to talk about why they are good at their work. During the conversations you have, resist selling yourself. Hone in listening skills. Be likable. Take advantage of LinkedIn and use job boards for your research. And lastly, and maybe the most difficultly, don't fear technology. Hey, it's that Helen Flynn music. So what is that music, Helen?
Well, I want to go to a different kind. I want to think about Fred Rogers for a moment.
Oh, okay.
Can you see the little bus coming?
I think so.
Okay. Well, he had a saying that I really liked, and that is that often when you think you're at the end of something, you're at the beginning of something else. Pursuing a passion or finding a purpose makes life meaningful. New tasks face us. We may need to build a new social network to replace coworkers. We may need to add structure to our lives, or we may need to begin an encore career that could be a business, volunteer work, or mentoring.
Thank you, Helen. Appreciate your insight. Helen Flynn. Well, that about wraps it up for the Senior Solutions Show. We're grateful you joined us. Don't forget, you can listen to our shows anytime you like on an app called Spotify or TuneIn or iHeartRadio. Look us up there or Google Eric Stewart Group. I'm Eric Stewart. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next week.
You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too much stuff.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.